I want to say welcome to everybody, Lifeway Live, watching us online. We're continuing our series on prayer, and I want to start by sharing something that happened years ago. I'm with the family. We're at the ICU waiting room. Horrible car accident, young man. He's inside. Church family, friends, we're all gathered out there. And after about 45 minutes, the surgeon comes out and he says, "Well, we've done all that can be done. The only thing we can do now is pray." Ever heard that before? I was so livid because I was told he was a Christian. That should have started with prayer. That should have been some big prayers. That should have been some bold prayers. That should have been some very specific prayers. Why do we treat prayer like a life ring? It's the last thing you get instead of the first thing you need. And so this morning I want to talk about two key elements here. Learning how to pray powerful prayers. If you want your prayers answered, then you've got to start praying in such a way that God will answer your prayers. And I think sometimes we're afraid to pray. We know we should pray, but we don't. We know what we should be praying for, but we don't. We forget to pray, or maybe we just don't know what to say. We feel guilty. And so then since we lack any sincerity, our prayers are just just there. Very generic. So here's a question that's been asked before. If God answered every one of your prayers this week, would it change you or would it change the world around you? How about it? Honestly, if you got every prayer answered you wanted, would it change you? Would it change the world around you? We've got to learn, and we have to start experiencing this kind of prayer. So two keys to powerful prayer. Here they are right up front. The first one is this. We got to learn to pray big prayers. One of the reasons we don't pray big prayers are we're afraid God won't answer them. Ever notice that you had a goal in life or something you wanted to attain, but you didn't tell anybody? Why didn't you tell them? Seriously, this is not rhetorical. You've got this great idea. You've got a prayer. You want to accomplish something. You want to do something. But you don't tell anybody about it. Why? Afraid of what? Afraid of failure. Afraid of rejection. You don't want to put it all out there because what if it doesn't happen? That's one of the reasons we don't pray big prayers. We're afraid God won't answer them and then we'll look a fool. The other one is we have to learn to pray specific prayers. We have to learn to start praying specifically. Oh, God, let me have a good day. Let the kids have a good day. God bless Jimmy in science where he's struggling today. May his teacher say something to encourage him. May Jimmy be receptive to what his teacher says today. God, give him a spirit of understanding in that class today. That's the kind of prayer God wants to hear from us. Oh, God, bless this food. God, may this be hot, nutritious, and if you're eating out, may it be cheap. Right? I mean, is that your three requirements too? In Ephesians, Paul says this starting in chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 14. We're just going to look at a couple of verses at a time. But here's this prayer from Paul. He says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he might grant you strength," or he would strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Let's stop right there. For this reason I bow, and he says this, according to the riches of his glory, he would grant you strength. To the riches of his glory. Can I translate that for you? He is limitless and he is boundless, and his strength and power for us is limitless. The riches of his glory, that he might grant you to be strengthened with what? Power. Power from whom? His spirit. Where? In your inner body, in your soul. You can't pray a big prayer until you've got the power of Jesus inside of you. You don't know how to pray a big prayer. You're afraid to pray a courageous prayer. And I'm not just talking about let Jimmy have a good day at school, pray. I mean, these are the prayers that sometimes they don't happen overnight. These are the kinds of prayers that you're going to pray over and over, and you're going to struggle with them, and you're going to wrestle with them, because that's how big it is. That's how big and powerful this prayer is that you're praying, is that you're wrestling with it. You're wrestling with God with this thing. And you're praying it deeply. And you're not saying, God, give me this. God, show me how to get this. Instead of, God, park that car in front of my driveway, God, show me how to get that car. Now, I am not talking about wealth and prosperity here. But God, show me how to encourage Jimmy in science class. God, show me how. Through your boundless and limitless riches in heaven, we fail to even grasp those smallest things. I remember a missionary from Africa that came to the States. There were three young men that came to the States, never been to America. They were here on a visa, and they went to a grocery store. So the pastor took them to a grocery store so they could go shopping and get some things that they would need. They walked inside. Just picture our local supermarket. They walked inside and they were just in awe. They just kept looking around. And they said, so many things. Does every city have one of these? And the pastor said, every town has multiple of these. They could not believe how much food you could put in a building. They'd never seen that much food in their life. We've never seen the storehouse of God, have we? We don't know what's on the shelf. We would be amazed if we tapped into these limitless resources. And you know, here's the other, I'm going to qualify this. You pray a big prayer. There's also the possibility that God may not answer it the way you want him to. But God will honor that prayer, won't he? He'll honor your effort from praying it. One of the ways to get what we want, and I'll talk about this later, is learn to ask for the right things. Then God will give you the desires of your heart. But there are times when we can pray and it may not go our way. Let me give you an example. God, please take this horrible disease away from Miss So-and-so. But if you don't, but if that is not your will, help us to receive it. Help us to understand it. Help us to live with that. God wants to hear what you want. He wants to know how you feel. But sometimes his plans are different than ours, aren't they? So sometimes our prayers need to say, but God, not my will, but your will. And sometimes the hardest part of a prayer to pray is that, God, not my will, but your will, and help me to accept it. Remember the three young men? King Nebuchadnezzar had in the Old Testament, had a giant statue of himself. And every time the horn blew, you're supposed to, everybody had to bow down and worship it. And these three young men, they said, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. Listen to what they said. This is in Daniel chapter 3. It says, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from the majesty's hands. But if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods and we will never worship the image of gold you have set up. One key thing in there. Our God is able to rescue us, but even if he doesn't, we'll never worship you. That's a powerful prayer, isn't it? God, I know you can, but even if you don't, I'm still going to serve you. Somebody says, well, I hate praying big prayers because then I get disappointed. No, he knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it, where you need it. God, I know you can do this, but even if you don't, I'm going to worship you. God, even if you don't answer this prayer, I'm going to serve you. Do you believe that's a conversation our Heavenly Father wants to have with us? That he wants to hear from us? Not only do we need to pray big prayers, but we need to start praying more specifically. We need to be bold. We need to pray big prayers. But why are we afraid to put details in them? Listen to what he says in verse 17. These couple of verses. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That's what we're talking about. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love. Look at those words. Rooted and grounded. For every great tree to stand tall, it must be what? Rooted and grounded. Our faith should be what? Rooted and grounded. Now listen, it says, with all the saints, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth? And it says this, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Let's examine that last part. So if we want to see the power of God, then we pray very specific, bold prayers. So that Christ dwells in our heart through faith. Listen to this. We're rooted and grounded. And he says, I want you to have the strength. He says, I've already prayed for you to have the power. Now I want you to have the strength to comprehend, to understand. And then he says, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. This is not theological knowledge. This is not head knowledge. This is experiential knowledge. When you see God, you experience God answering prayers in your life, you begin to thank him and you begin to trust him with even more, don't you? When you see God moving in your life, when you see God moving in someone else's life, your prayers will get more specific. They'll get bolder so that Christ will dwell in your heart. You see, God loves to answer prayers. Did you know that there are over 3,000 promises in the Bible? Over 3,000 promises from God. Has God ever broke a promise? Will he ever break a promise? Have you ever heard of this thing called praying the Bible, praying the Word, praying the promises of God? It's not that he needs reminding, but you need to be reminded. God, you have promised that you will increase this. So I'm asking for it today. 3,000 promises. You know the best way to get your prayers answered? Pray what he promised you. Start praying what he's already promised you. Listen to what John says. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Dwight L. Moody, great evangelist, great old preacher. Here's what he said. When I pray, I talk to God. But when I read the Bible, God is talking to me. And it's really more important that God should speak to me than I should speak to him. But I believe if we knew our Bible better, we'd better know how to pray. What do you think? Sometimes there's this disconnect. to where we say, well, I need to do more praying. Well, what should I pray? How should I pray? How do I know when God answers? If you're waiting for that booming bass voice from heaven, give it up. If you're waiting for the brown squirrel instead of the red squirrel to run by the kitchen window, give it up. You want to know what to pray for? You want to see the answers from God? Read His Word. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to have big, bold, powerful prayers? Then read His Word. Everything God wants you to know is found right in His Word. So that means there's nothing that we need to know to serve God, to please God, to worship God, that's not found in His Word. Paul was very specific in this prayer that he just prayed. This is a prayer of Paul. He's praying for them to have power and strength so that Christ will dwell in their hearts in fullness. They're rooted and grounded in love. Their strength to comprehend with all the saints. It's a classic Paul prayer, isn't it? He's not praying for himself. He's praying for them. You see, if we don't pray big prayers, you'll never see the mighty, powerful God we serve. If we just keep nipping at the edges, oh God, let me have a tolerable day. Let me get along with God. You know, I work with idiots, so help me tolerate the idiots today. God, turn the hearts of those idiots towards you. God, turn my heart towards those people. God, show me today within them that you're still at work at this terrible, cruddy job, whatever. You pray that on your way to work. And then on the way home, thank you, God, that you delivered me once again today. Your hand stayed me. You gave me strength. You helped me to focus. You helped me keep my mouth shut. And we'll do it all again tomorrow, Father. One of the greatest attributes you'll ever learn from praying is patience. Because some things worth praying for are worth praying over and over and over. That doesn't mean if you pray the prayer six times, God believes you more. But from our heart, when we continue to pray and we continue to ask for strength, then God is building us up. And we're reading His Word and we're praying it back to Him. How do we know? Because if we don't dream big, if we don't pray big, we'll never see a big God. We'll stand outside that grocery store and not even look through the window. We don't know what God is capable of. You don't know what He's capable of. You've got to be willing to walk into the store, look around and realize you can take it off the shelf. I'll never forget the pastor said about the missionary, the look on their faces. And they said, so this is available? Every city has one grocery store? And the pastor said, every town, every village has multiple stores. And they said, how can you not be blessed in this country with food? Are some of us going to wait till we get to heaven before we realize how big our God really is? Before we realize that He cares about every detail of our life? I'm going to finish with these two verses. Verse 20 says this. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the powers that work within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Talking about God. Let's look at it again. Now to Him who is able to do what? Far more what? Abundantly than we what? that we can ask or imagine. You know why we can't imagine it? Because we've never sat and tried to imagine it. How big is your God? And how little are your troubles in the hands of a big God? Kids, marriage, relationships, work, finances. Do we just nibble at the edges in our prayers? Oh God, come into my marriage and change me. The fastest way for your marriage to get better is stop praying for God to change your spouse and pray for him to change you. Let God take care of your spouse. That's not your job, ladies. Men never try to change their wives. We're just happy with what we got. Women are always trying to like, I can do a little better on this one. I need a little better on this one. That's why every woman is smiling on her wedding day. She's standing there going, oh God, we got our work cut out for us. And every man is smiling back going, God, don't let anything about her change. You want a better spouse in 30 days? Then you pray the power and specific details for you. God, change me. Make me more loving. Make me more patient. Make me more communicative. Help me to be a better me so that I can be a better husband or wife. And God, you do your work on that mess as only you can do. Stop playing God in your marriage and start knowing the power of God. Start being a powerful parent when you pray for your kids. Oh God, protect little Jimmy today. God, do this for little Jimmy today. Specifically, what do you want God to do? God, help me to be there. Help me to know how to do this. Don't just pray your finances get better. Pray God will teach you to be a better handler of money. We're stewards of his. It's his. I don't care how hard you work for it. It's his. Ask him to teach you to be better with it, to be more responsible with it. Pray for those details. God, show me how. Now, him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. We're not getting it because we're not asking for it. And we're not asking for it because we can't even think big enough. As I would say back in my old neighborhood, don't be a scared. Why are you a scared? See, they're scared and then there's us scared. And if you didn't grow up in Houston, you don't know the difference. One is the street with no streetlights. The other one is the street with no streetlights and you hear somebody dragging a chain. That's a scared. Why are you scared? So let me ask you this question. How can a spiritually rich, powerful father in heaven have such malnourished children? You think about that? Let it sink in. Here's the father, powerful, rich, wealth beyond imagination. You look at his kids, all shriveled up, malnourished, depressed, head down in the dirt. With a father like that, how can the children be so malnourished? Why? Because they don't dream big enough, they don't ask big enough, they don't expect big enough. We need to pray with expectation. We need to live with expectation, and we need to praise God with expectation. How many of you are so bold when you pray, you thank God for what he hasn't even done yet? You ever do it? It'll challenge you. God is specifically, I need your hand in this. Show me how to do this, and I thank you in advance for what you're going to do. How about it? Ever done it? I challenge you this week. Start praying and ending every prayer with, and I thank you For however you decide to work this out, not my will but yours, but I thank you in advance. We thank other people in advance, don't we? You hire somebody to do something for you. You hire somebody to mow your yard. You're like, hey, thank you. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate what you're going to do. We'll thank the yard man, but we won't thank God. That's why we're spiritually malnourished as God's children. That's why we're depressed with our heads down. That's why we're stressed out about everything in life. Because we haven't taken big, bold, powerful, specific prayers to the throne of God and say, God, this is yours. How much more comfortably would you sleep at night if you said, now, Lord, all this is going on. I got to get some sleep. Since you're up all night anyway, I trust you to take care of this. And I thank you in advance for teaching me to get a good night's sleep. Because tomorrow's troubles are sufficient for then, aren't they? That's what the Bible says. Don't worry about tomorrow. You better be just worried about today. Sometime, one day you'll never get to tomorrow because you're so stressed out today worrying about tomorrow. And some of y'all are freaked out about yesterday. You're so freaked out about yesterday, you're not living today, so you're stressed out about tomorrow. Here it is right now, today, Sunday. Why don't we pray about today? If we trust the one that holds tomorrow, then he's got it, doesn't he? We need to be praying, Lord, what you have for me today, put in front of me. A woman once stood here about 10, 12 years ago, right over on that side of the auditorium. She was here visiting with her daughter. She was from out of town. And she says, my daughter said nice things about you. I said, your daughter's new here. She doesn't know me that well yet. And she said, well, I have a very simple question for you. And I'm going to close with this if the band wants to come up. And she said, how do I know unmistakably if something is God's will? I said, oh, phew, I thought you were going to ask a hard one. I said, this one's easy for me. See, I pray and ask God to open the door. Right? Don't we do that? God, please open the door. Then I pray for the Lord to kick me through it. Then I pray for him to slam the door and rip the doorknob off. Then I know it's the Lord's will. She said, that's what they taught you in seminary? I said, nope, figured that out all by myself. Lord, open the door. Kick me through it. Slam the door and rip the knob off. When you know the direction the Lord wants you to go in, there's no fighting it any longer, is there? Now you just put your head down, you start doing, and that's where you start praying those big, bold, powerful, specific prayers. I just love the spiritual things we find on social media. When God closes a door, he opens a window. They don't tell you it's normally on the third floor, though, do they? Do you have the strength to jump out that window if that's all he's got open? God, I'm going to trust you. Let's bow. Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. I pray specifically that we have been blessed, that we have been encouraged, that we have looked at your word, we have seen the promises of your word, and that they will begin changing the hearts of the people in this room and those online watching right now. Will we be what you've called us to be, Father, is the question now. The question is not can you, but will we? So for every person in this room or in the sound of my voice, will we dedicate our lives to you in prayer? Will we pray big, bold, powerful prayers? Will we open up the storehouse of your riches and walk inside? Will we experience our Heavenly Father who has no boundaries and no limits? Father, there's somebody else in this room or online watching. They don't have what we just talked about. They don't have a relationship with you. Therefore, they can't talk to you like this. And they can't in their heart know and be filled with faith because they don't have that, because they haven't asked for it. Father, today, if there's somebody running from church, running from religion, running for whatever reason, may they just stop. You're not the problem. You never have been. But you are the answer. You're the solution to their problem. Many in this room, we have experienced your love and your touch, so we have that knowledge. But some people aren't, and they're just right there at that line. Today, right now, every believer in this room, within the sound of my voice, we come together and we pray for those who do not know you as their Heavenly Father. We pray today that right now they will say, God, I am a sinner. I've fallen short. I'm not perfect. I've blown it. I've tried my best. Today I surrender. You are the Creator God, and I want you to be my Heavenly Father. So I believe that Jesus died on that cross to pay for my sins. And today I surrender my heart. I surrender my life. Today is the first day of my new life. I surrender. God, I am yours. Claim me. Rebuild me. Remake me. I want to experience the promises of your word. Heavenly Father, you hear the intent of the hearts of those speaking to you right now. Grant them eternal life as you've promised. For the rest of us, may we open up the storehouse doors of your riches and your glories. And you are the God who has more than we can ever imagine or even ask for. There is no limits to your love for us. May we glorify your kingdom in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you